last week on Thomas and the Bible.
Dear Galatians, it's me, Epistle. As you might recall, I had first dibs on the gospel, so why aren't you still following my rules? I know you all love that big book of commandments, but remember that time that I was starving and suffering heatstroke on the way to Damascus, and I had that vision of Jeebus? Well, what more do you want? You can trust me. And I really like your foreskins. Best regards, the Epistle. P.S. Stop doing that jack-off motion.
Well, what could top that? More spam from the Epistle this week on Thomas and the Bible.
I love it. Stop. What is that motion? What are you guys doing? Just stop doing all that. I know you told me it was like an encouraging thing, but I don't feel like it is. I feel like there's something I don't get. I feel like there's a joke I'm not getting. Come on, guys. Another great intro, as usual, from Kevin. Thank you. All right, well, we got yet another letter. Who's surprised? Paul is writing more letters, this time to Ephesia. I don't know. It's called Ephesians. And it just so happens that it's yet another letter that fits perfectly with my episode length. So we're going to finish Ephesians. We're just going to start it and finish it. We'll be all Ephesed out. Oh, I guess it's Ephesus. Sorry, not Ephesus. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. Oh, this is his letterhead. So from the desk of from the pen of Paul. And he always has this really obnoxious title that he... An apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Jesus Christ. Oh, sorry, Christ Jesus. It's like ISIS and ISIL. Some people say Jesus Christ, some people say Christ Jesus. I don't know what, it's just trying to state whatever sounds cooler. I don't know. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Well, this is a run-on sentence. He didn't have an English teacher that taught him, like, hey, this is a run-on, just to end this. This sentence needs to die. This sentence is like the Rocky franchise. It just needed to end like seven movies ago, seven dependent clauses ago. Rocky 1 is amazing. So, six ago? I don't know. I don't know what one they're on. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one of all things in Christ, all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore, just so you know, all that's happening is we're hearing the same crap we've already heard. It's just, this is just a bunch, and I've gone over this, I've you know, studied, so to make sure I'm not missing anything, and don't worry, we're not missing anything. This is just like, let me say some vague things about Jesus. He gave himself up for you, his blessing, blah, 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 gosh. He could have just picked one letter and gone with that. We don't need to hear every single letter that he wrote to everybody ever. It's really tedious. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is, another run-on sentence, no one to end your sentences, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality, in power and might, and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth in all. Oh, thank God. It's the end of the chapter is the only way Paul was going to end a sentence. He's like, I'm not ending the sentence until it's Ephesians 2. Hey, wake me up when it's Ephesians 2. That's when I'll end my sentence, and not a moment sooner. Well, if you thought Ephesians 1 was exciting, just wait until you hear Ephesians 2. I couldn't finish that sentence with the excitement that I intended to. Sorry. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins wherein time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had all our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come he might shew the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace ye are saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were about Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who are sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, who hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. That's the end of exciting Ephesians 2. Yeah, I'm forming theories in my mind about where he came up with this whole, you know, oh, you don't have to do anything good. Like, it doesn't matter what you do. You don't have to follow the law. Don't worry about all that crap God said in the Old Testament. Yeah, I know he was directly telling people to do that, but it's changed now. It's different. Don't worry. Don't worry about that. All you have to do is just believe that Jesus died for your sins or whatever. Just have faith in Jesus. And it's sort of, you know, I talked to God, you know, I negotiated. I drove a hard bargain. I promise you guys, I didn't, you know, and what I got to was this: we don't have to follow any of that, you know, the bullshit laws. We just have to believe in Jesus and then we're good. That's it. But anyway, it's the weirdest thing. I don't know who would ever think of this. Like, who would think of that setup? Seriously, just forget, pretend you don't know anything about anything. And just imagine thinking of that. Like, oh no, you don't have to do anything good. You just have to recognize that this guy was the Son of God and died for us. And then you're fine. Like, it just is the weirdest thing, you know, a priori or whatever. You would never, it makes no sense. But I'm wondering if, here's my little theory that I'm forming. This is, you know, this is just me speculating. But what if Pasol saw how just over the year, the centuries of Jewish history, that it just, the Jews never could get it right. They never could follow the laws. They were always struggling with that. They were always persecuted. Nothing was ever going their way. It wasn't working. Something needed to change. And, you know, Jesus had all that happened and, you know, this Jesus's legend starts to grow and he just thought, you know, this'll just be easier. I'm going to turn this thing around. You know, it's been centuries of the Jews not being able to obey all these rules. You know, I don't remember half of them. You know, it's complicated. It's like the tax code of the US, you know, it takes an expert to even know all the rule. Like, just, we'll throw all that away. We'll just say, you gotta believe in Jesus. You don't even have to circumcise yourselves. Just keep the tip of your penises right where they are. and you're fine. That's kind of my working theory right now. Maybe I'll add to it as we go. I don't know. Oh, and not to mention that this brings in the Gentiles. So his little scheme, you know, he's from a marketing point of view, from a business standpoint, Pasol is like, look, why are we only going for just Jews? There's like two of us. Let's open this up a bit. Let's say anyone can have access to God and increase the, you know, the funding of the church a little bit. You know, work with me, guys. Work with me. All right, Ephesians 3. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Well, that prisoner comment, turns out that wasn't like figurative. He was actually in jail when he wrote this. So back in the day, instead of one phone call, you get one epistle. He's like, all right, Pasol, you get your one epistle. Who's it going to be? You know, is it going to be the Romans, the Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians? He's like, I'm feeling Ephesians. I think they'll bail me out. All right, but you only get one epistle. Whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power, unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have both. He just never ends a sentence. He never ends a sentence. He's like, why would I end a sentence? I could just keep, if I do a colon or a comma. It just can go on forever. Why let this wild ride ever stop? In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees under the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Boy, that sounded like the end of a book, didn't it? That would be a good place to end. You should have ended your epistle. But no, he didn't. He's like, oh, P.S., 5,000 more things. Ephesians 4, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. don't be alarmed. He's in you now. But unto every one of us, no sudden movements. I wouldn't jump up out of your chair. I would just slowly get up. He's in you right now. Yeah, I'm telling you, he's in you. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body, again with a body metaphor, I don't know if you remember from a few episodes ago when he was all about like, oh, the hand needs to be the hand. And the eyes need to be the eyes. Should the eyes be the ears? No, that would. And basically, he was saying like, everyone just keep doing what you're doing. Like, don't worry about your shitty job, because it takes all kinds. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. But here's the thing that doesn't make any sense. This is my keen observation for this week. If all we need to do is accept Jesus Christ, that's it. What are we doing anything else for? What's all this talk about, like, no, the body, some of us need to be pastors and some of us need to be event. No, we all just say like, oh, okay, I accept Jesus. And we're done. We don't need to work. We don't need to do anything. Like, why do we just kill ourselves? We all should just accept Jesus and then starve to death. Really? Like, why would we do anything else? I don't understand it. He does a lot of talk about like, oh, it takes all kinds. It takes all kinds to what? To just, we accept Jesus and then end of story? That doesn't take all kinds. It takes just nothing. That just takes everyone accepting Jesus. It doesn't matter what's up. They could all be the same thing. You could all be you know, apostles, or you could all be garbage men. And as long as you all accepted Jesus, then, you know, by his logic, we're all fine. Doesn't make any sense. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness, uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him in labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Oh, that sounds like an argument for rehabilitation instead of just indefinite, you know, locking people up. That's surely conservatives should take heed of that message, right? And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Ah, for Christ's sake. All right, that's the end of Ephesians 4. Ephesians 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Wait a minute. I thought a minute ago you were saying all we had to do was accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and you're fine. Now there's rules again? I like how his whole cell, Pasol's entire cell is, hey guys, forget about all those rules. All you have to do is accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You don't have to cut off the tip of your penis. You don't have to do all this stuff. You're fine. Oh, but here's some rules for you. Seriously. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Dear God, I'm so glad we were not limited to Pasol's rules. I bet if Pasol had his way, he would have said, oh yeah, just read Psalm. That's all the art you need. It's right there. Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Yeah, just do that. And then until you die. Boy, am I glad that the shitty art of the Bible and the Psalms, which are terrible, and the hymns and spiritual songs, I'm really glad we weren't limited to what Pasol prescribed there, and that, you know, we came up with other stuff that isn't terrible. giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife. Yeah, there it goes. Even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall two be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Yeah, I mean, this is so boring that I don't even know what to say. I mean, yeah, the husband is the head of the marriage. Why? Just, I don't know. I mean, it might have made sense back then. I mean, it probably did, to be honest with you. Like, it, in a time of great misogyny and, you know, when force had more rule over everything, maybe it made sense for the man to take charge and, you know, defend us and, you know, work for a living and the way, you know, division of labor, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. But things just aren't like that anymore. Thankfully, unforeseen by anyone in the Bible, we've elevated society to a point where we don't need that, where we can be more equal, where we can always strive to be more and more equal. Force isn't really what gets you around in the world anymore. We don't need a strong man to defend a family and all that bullshit. Like, you can just be a couple or not. You don't even have to get married. It's amazing. It's Pasol, you've got to see it. Seriously, you're missing it. We've got things figured out. You don't even have to. You could just live with a girl, or I got bigger news for you, Pasol. If you're listening, you could also just, you know, be a dude and you know, be into dudes, or a woman and be into women, or not identify as a gender and be into whatever you want. It's a great time, Paul. It's a great time to be alive, and you and all your holiness didn't foresee any of it. And nobody in this book did. So just that's an update to Paul. He's sitting there I know he's at Jesus's right hand right now, but I'm sure he'll listen in. All right, Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Oh, wait, I thought we just had to accept Jesus Christ. Why are you still telling us what to do? It doesn't make any sense. That's my biggest question now. I actually kind of want to ask a Christian about it. Like, which is it? Does it not matter what we do, or does it matter? Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, remember those commandments I told you that don't matter? Yeah, here's this one you need to follow. That it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. James Bonds, that therein may, or is he saying like, yeah, I work in bonds, like a bond trader, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren and love with faith, from God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus in sincerity. Amen. All right, we're finally done with this crap for this. So that's it for Ephesians, and that's it for our reading for today. Got a new patron to thank over at patreon.com/TNTheB by the name of Malachi Constant. Thank you so much for the pledge. I strongly encourage people to pledge. I especially as maybe we potentially move on to another book. I definitely am going to re-examine whether or not I want to divert attention. Like, I may just stop at Thomas and the Bible, or I may continue. I guess I'll try to gauge interest. So that being said, one way to show interest is to go pledge over patreon.com/TNTheB if you'd like to see the show continue. But we'll see what happens. I don't know. I'm undecided right now, but of course I'd like to thank my all-time great pledges and pledgers: John Bodley, Chris Lukowski, Marcel, Philip Gatt, Sarah McPike, Japan Dan, George Green, Charles Bangwiener, Tom Chambers, Brian Gareford, Lee Primesberger, John P., Travis Peterson, and Ariberto. Thank you guys so much for your pledges. I love you guys. You're the best. So with that said, I think I'll call it for this week. Thank you for joining me. And once again, support the show, patreon.com/TNTheB. And see you next week.